Who's got it better than us?
Nobody! Your home for the best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Our next guest is brought to you by Bucked Up Energy. Real ingredients, real focus, unreal energy. Visit buckedup.com to find your local retail store. And mention the code KSL in store to get your free energy drink. No purchase necessary. Joining us now, I heard from chair number 45 on the Sugarloaf Lift. He's the one and only David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz. What's up, David?
Ratchet Park City. And if anybody's ski park city this year, this will not surprise them. The trail has stopped for a while, so my perfect timing of getting down to the Red Pine Lodge to do the interview from inside failed because of the fact that the lift stopped for a while. So we are cruising down. Hopefully you can hear me all right. We're skiing a run together, Jake.
How about
Haven't
that?
Haven't done this in a lot of years.
No, it's been a while.
Well, I like it.
David, I don't know if you saw the news that the Minnesota Timberwolves sale is up in the air now because Glenn Taylor is saying that Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry did not meet their obligation to have the money in time, and he is no longer selling the team, so he will remain the controlling owner of the team.
No way.
Now, we will see if that actually goes through because Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lowry are saying, no, we've met it.
We got it.
We've got the money. We're going to finish this thing. How big of a deal is that, and what impact does it potentially have on the Jazz who own all their future first-round draft picks?
Well, I think it's a big deal for a lot of reasons, but my quick take on it is that Glenn Taylor has a winner, so he doesn't want to sell the team anymore. Right? Like, I think he wore out with all the losing, and now suddenly as a winner, he's like, I'm not going to, like, they might win, we might win a title. I don't want to give that them be the ones, like, that's my vibe on that, is that, I mean, the Mark Lowry Alex Rodriguez story has been weird the whole time through, if you followed it. They've been, you know, really at the last second, like trying to get through. They lost a bunch of funding. Then they supposedly came through at the end and got more funding. So there have been funding questions. And, it's ironic. I'm at Park City. Like, the Park City Mountain and Canyons came together as one mountain because someone forgot to sign a lease on a paper on the right day.
What a story that was.
That's how Vail ended up getting the Canyons.
Yep.
So it almost sounds similar to that, like that Glenn Taylor might have them a day or two late and them thinking, oh, well, we'll be fine because Glenn Taylor wants to sell. So we'll be fine a day or two late. Now Glenn Taylor's like, actually, never mind.
Wow. Which is totally on brand for him because he is a bozo and you got to tell him sell high, dude. You're like, your franchise is never going to be worth more. And Ben points out they're headed for financial ruin unless they make some major moves. So like now is the time to sell. You know, this is when the Rockets sold to Tillman Fertitta. You know, you sell when your team's good.
Yeah, and they have major cap luxury problems. It got a little better because of the Mike Conley deal, but they signed Jaden McDaniels. So, you know, they're probably heading toward the luxury tax. So you wonder whether Glenn Taylor, you know, who's advising Glenn Taylor that's telling him, like, no, like, you know, you still want the team, where Glenn Taylor not taking advice. And sometimes when you get at the top of the food chain, you don't have a lot of people around who tell you the truth anymore. So, you know, I'm not sure how that's playing out, but that's my quick, wow, that has been a kind of subtly crazy story here for a while. The fact is, the bottom line is Glenn Taylor has not been a very successful or good owner in Minnesota. Therefore, if we own their picks, it's probably advantageous to us that he gets back in that position. I mean, I think they're going to lose in the first round of the playoffs anyway. So then he rehabs the team. Then he has a luxury tax team that lost the first round of the playoffs. I think there could be some tough days ahead for Minnesota, even though they have Anthony Edwards, which may solve all problems.
Last night, we got another look at the unbelievable Victor Wembanyama. I know his stats weren't terrific, but you can just tell his impact on the game and what his future looks like. I don't want to talk about how good he can get. I want to talk about how realistically you think the Spurs can build a title contender around him just based on what you've seen from the Spurs over the last, you know, let's say post-Kawhi, and how hard it is to build a contender anymore.
Like, it's really, really hard to build a contender. Like, you look at the free – like, I'm not entirely sure that Simone Fontecchio is not the best free agent available next year. Like, I'm exaggerating, and he's restricted, so he's not really available. But, like, literally, I was looking at the free agent list last night, and I was like, wow, there's nobody in this. Miles Bridges is probably the best free agent available. I'm assuming Charlotte's going to bite the bullet and re-sign him if they didn't trade him. So that's – yeah, I mean, I think it's super hard to build, and but I do think Victor's a piece that allows you to build at a very, very high level. And so the fact that they have Victor means that they have a chance. They're going to have the number one, two, or three pick probably again this year. They'll probably go to somebody off the, you know, on the French national team because they're going to build the, what is that, Olivier Sarr, whatever his name is. And then they can have the French national team. But it's going to be hard for them to build a winner just because it's hard to build a winner, right? Like, but Victor's got it all. Like, he's going to be the best defensive player in the league and unguardable offensively. And if he ever becomes efficient offensively, forget about it.
All right. I hope this question makes sense for you, David. But Mike Smith was on the pregame show yesterday, and we were obviously talking about the Spurs and Wemby, and he complimented the Spurs front office, and that's fine. You know, you can compliment the Spurs front office. They've won five titles, all of this. But it caused me to think, like, were they really brilliant, or was it a lot of blind luck? You know, like, they had one bad season to get Tim Duncan, right? You know, the Jazz had to pass and pick Raul Lopez instead of Tony Parker. They never get Tony Parker. You know, all these things that go into it. And it's not just unique to the Spurs. You could pick out lots of situations. But, you know, even getting Wemby is blind luck in a way, you know, because of the lottery odds, which are honestly terrible. But let me ask you this, for the best GM of all time, whoever that may be, how much of their success is due to savviness, and how much of their success is due to, you can call it blind luck, but we can call it circumstance, because that's what it really is, right? Does that make any sense? What part of, how much of that job is circumstance?
I think it's a great point. And then I also think you can do it exactly right, and then someone tears their ACL, right?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
So it can go the other way. So I think you have a great point. They deserve credit for Kawhi Leonard, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. They don't deserve a lot of credit for Tim Duncan. And, you know, hey, they didn't do anything wrong when they had Tim Duncan. Let Tim Duncan be Tim Duncan. He and Steph Curry may be the two greatest superstar teammates of all time. I have a hard time not giving him credit. I'm kind of on board. Like, here's one of my biggest gripes right now is this bull crap about the OKC model. Like, everyone's like, oh, the OKC model. Okay, Jalen Williams, great pick. But that's not the OKC model that everyone's talking about. Right? Everyone's saying, oh, you got to do the OKC model. You got to really tank. Okay, what happens if Orlando had taken Chet Holmgren instead of Paolo Banchero? Because Chet Holmgren's going to be better than Paolo Banchero. But, like, so they have Paolo Banchero. And he's suddenly fighting for shots with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and it doesn't work. Is that still a great model? But they got the second pick of a good draft? Yeah, fine. But, like, the Jalen Williams pick, which is really probably the key to this whole thing on the model, is they got that pick from someone, I don't remember who, and they deserve great credit for that pick, but that's the pick that's kind of making this thing work. But it also is 100% predicated on Jalen Williams still being available at 12. So, you know, I hear these models. Oh, you got to do that model. Okay, how's that different than the Orlando model, who's taken, you know, a million, what are they taking, seven top six picks in 10 years? Okay, well, that hasn't gone well for them either, because the draft didn't, no one made a mistake, right? Like, I don't remember exactly who went in front of Jalen Suggs, but it wasn't someone who made a mistake, and instead of Jalen Suggs, they got the player who was the second or third pick of that draft, and their model looks a lot better.
And here's the funny thing. The genesis of all of this is the Oklahoma City Thunder trading for Paul George in 2017 when he asked out of Indiana, and nobody thought the Thunder were going to be in that conversation. And now they have flipped Paul George into Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, and it's great. It is also worth noting they gave up Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis, who is a perennial All-Star, is about to break the all-time double-double record streak, I should say. Like, this has been a huge process for Oklahoma City going back now 7 years. So, I mean, like, the model isn't just get Shea, get these guys. There's a lot more nuance than that.
Right. And you know what the model is? Get a top five player. Like, I don't know how you do it, but get a top five player. Like, that's it. Because, like, Shea's the key to the whole thing. Because Shea's great.
Yeah, so you, Zanuck, no, go get me a top five guy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, right. Like, I mean, this is where I think there's, like, all sorts of, like, I think some of the debates are going to be fascinating.
Yeah.
Like, I think the most interesting debate to me is Trae Young. So, like, now, he's worth, maybe it's going to be, like, $70 million for Trae Young, which is a problem. And so that's probably the reason not to do it at some point, if you really have to pay him $70 million. But, like, I brought up to everyone, like, would you trade for Trae Young? And I generally get a universal no from every single person about it. And maybe the answer is no because of $70 million. But my answer is yes. You know why? He'd be our best player. Like, he might have all these things wrong, but he's, like, the 23rd best player in the league. He'd be our best player. And, like, at some point, you're just trying to acquire better talent. But, like, sitting back and just waiting, I don't know how you get a top five or top 10 guy. But that's obviously what you have to have. I think Sacramento's a fascinating one right now. I think there's a real chance Sacramento's not making the playoffs. And they have two top 20 players in the NBA. I don't know if it just got too loud here. Let me know. Maybe we were better off when I was actually skiing. But Sacramento, I think, is not going to make the playoffs. And they have two top – they have De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis, who are both close to top 20. Well, like, what are they going to do next? Like, I don't know what they do when they don't make the playoffs here.
And, well, and to your Trae Young point, I mean, the Trae Young is the beginning of what we just talked about OKC doing with Paul George, right? They picked a guy who
100%.
Was top 20. Paul George probably a little bit better, obviously, than Trae Young was. But both had highlighted unpredictable or unpredicted runs to the Eastern Conference Finals. Paul George did it and lost to the Heat. And Trae Young did it and lost to, was it the Celtics that year they ended up losing to when the Celtics lost to? Whatever. They make that run. So, yeah. You acquire talent because then it allows you to operate in trades with higher talent. And that's the Jazz are at a massive talent discrepancy right now.
No, thank you. You just made my point better than I did myself. You must have been listening when why isn't he tying these together? Thank you for doing so.
Your Trae Young take has me thinking. And you're an analytical guy. You like the math. Would it be possible to quantify how much a player makes his teammates worse? Because, yeah, you could say that Trae Young would be the best player on the team, but how much worse does he make everybody else? Because that would be my criticism on him.
I think he gives you a top 10 offense, and then he's on your roster.
At what cost, though? That's the thing. I think the Hawks are have underachieved.
No, I don't think there's not been a player that's played for Trae Young that's gone somewhere that's gotten better. DeJounte Murray's having the best year of his career by far. It's because he plays with Trae Young. De'Aaron Fox. Who's good on that team? Who's good on that team?
Who's it? Who's the Johnson kid who just has broken up?
Jalen Johnson's good in his third year, right? He's good now. Like, he's in his third year. Okay, so he's good, but he also might be a factor. I'd be curious to see. Like, he is really good. I haven't looked at it at all. I'd be super curious to know what his numbers are since Trae's been hurt. He's, in theory, they should be way up, right? On Jake's theory would be Trae Young's using 28 possessions a night. Jalen Johnson now should be able to get those 28 possessions and should be way up. I'd be curious to know, Trae Young throws the most assists to anyone at the rim in the NBA. Like, he gets in the paint at 6'1 and somehow finds people.
Then why doesn't Atlanta want him?
Probably because they don't want to pay him $70 million. And I think they might want him, frankly. I mean, I do think there's some feeling that, they probably need to move one of those two guys. The DeJounte Trae Young thing didn't work, so there's the premise.
Oh, but you just told me it did work. He's having the best year of his career.
No, right, but they're not working together. Don't push me too far here. I'm not going any farther in this conversation.
Okay, fair enough. David Locke, radio
just
voice of the Jazz.
How about you trust me?
Okay, all right.
Here, I'll say this too. Split the gap. The Hawks, when Trae Young was healthy this year through February 23rd, they were 29-30. One game below 500. April 9th, they're 41-41. They're exactly 500. So they're not playing worse this year without Trae Young on the floor. But I don't think the DeJounte Murray, Trae Young backcourt pairing has worked.
No, I mean, Trae Young's problem is that he's so small defensively, particularly off ball defensively, you really have problems. Like, if he's your weak side help defender, you got a major problem.
David, how many you hit us with the?
But let me ask you a question.
Yeah,
who can you get that's better?
At the moment, probably nobody. But that doesn't mean that you have to make a move. Who's gonna be better a year from now that you could get? I mean, why spend the resources on what's just available? To compare it to something else, you know what I don't get about college basketball coaching in particular? Why do you have to hire the hot coach that just had a good season right now? Why is that the automatically good coach that
right.
gets
yeah,
the
no,
job?
I agree.
You know what I mean? Like timing-wise. Timing
yeah.
is absolutely a thing.
Yeah. You didn't react to that. That's one of my favorite lines someone gave me.
AD
that tries to win the press conference ends up having a press conference shortly thereafter when he fires that coach.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. You broke up a little bit. Yeah, but no, that is a great line.
Okay.
Absolutely, 100%.
By the way, the reason to not trade for Trae Young is because you already have a 6'4" point guard who might be pretty good. That's the reason. For the Jazz. Is it Keontae's pretty good.
Yeah. These discussions are fun, though. I actually think it has the potential to be an interesting offseason. I don't know if it's going to be filled with fireworks.
Boston loses to Milwaukee in the East Conference Finals. They're well over the luxury tax. They're going to trade Jaylen Brown. Yes or no?
I'm more curious what happens.
Biggest contract in the NBA, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm also really curious what happens with Derek White and Drew Holiday. That backcourt can't exist forever. Because they both got to get paid, and it's going to literally cost them $500 million.
Right.
So
they pay those guys and trade Jaylen Brown? And are you interested in Jaylen Brown at the highest contract in the NBA?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, like he's better. He might be better than anyone we have on our roster.
Yeah.
Okay, David, real quick, while we've got you, because this news is just breaking. This is coming 7 minutes ago from AP writer Tom Withers. Who's reporting this? Cavs owner Dan Gilbert told AP he's confident Donovan Mitchell will sign an extension with Cleveland this summer. React.
No chance.
Yeah, that didn't seem likely to me either.
Ben? I think they lose in the first round.
Yeah.
And then I think Donovan won't sign one because they just lost in the first round.
Yeah, no chance.
In fact, here, let me give you a conspiracy. If Donovan Mitchell re-signs in the offseason, it's because there's something weird with his knee and his health, and he says, well, I better get my money now. That would be my only thought, and that's not good for Cleveland either. But no, I don't see it happening.
Yeah, that might be. I mean, the PRP treatment he just had was weird. There are some people in the league who think he's resting to get ready for the playoffs, but that would be weird too. So I don't know the answer on that. I do think...
That's pure speculation on my
part. Are they about to have to play New York again and lose?
Maybe Orlando. Probably Orlando.
They'll beat Orlando. Orlando's not ready.
I think so, too.
Orlando can guard, though.
Yeah, and they'll be in on Donovan. Like, Jalen Suggs will thrive on just...
Oh,
but
yeah.
That's where having both Darius Garland and Donovan might turn out okay.
I'll be curious if Jonathan Smith is healthy. Or Jonathan Isaac, excuse me. If he's healthy,
he's
a game changer. He's everything.
He's really good.
He's everything Jazz fans want Taylor Hendricks to be.
Here's the interesting one to me that's going on in the league that comes into our house on Friday. Every report, Michael Scotto of Hoops Hype had it yesterday. There's just been a numerous reports that Jalen Green was just wildly available at the trade deadline. And he was unbelievably inefficient and generally terrible up to the trade deadline. And yet every franchise in the NBA 2.5 years earlier would have drafted him number two in that draft, every single one of them, maybe even number one. And yet then nobody was willing to trade for him at the deadline. And yes, there are some good gossip New York Post stories about him that are quite something. But now all of a sudden he's like spearheading a 10-game win streak. Like, is this going to go down as like a colossal misstep by 29 NBA franchises to not pounce on Houston's impatience with him? Or is this a minor blip on the radar screen and a 2.5 year sample size is actually what matters?
There's two extra weird things with this. One, it coincides with Alperen Şengün being hurt, so they go from playing really slow to playing fast. That's part of it. And then the other aspect of it is, how long does it take for these G League Ignite kids to actually figure it out? Because Scoot has been terrible. Jalen Green was terrible. Are these G League Ignite kids actually 2 years behind or a year plus behind where the other rookies in their class are coming out when we thought it would be the opposite?
That's a really interesting thought. Scoot has been awful. Portland's got to be terrified. But Jalen Green was equally as terrible. So that's a great – I mean, Jalen Green's like one of the least efficient offensive players in the league other than Scoot Henderson this year.
And it actually and it applies to the Jazz.
It's a really interesting thought.
Because Ron Holland and Matas Buzelis, who are in the draft right in that spot, are G League Ignite kids. And it's like, you may not know what you have for 3 years, and how willing are you to take a draft pick on a player like that that is maybe even further away than your average rookie?
Yeah, I don't think – I mean, I'm watching Jonathan Kuminga and Jalen Johnson right now, and those are my models for Taylor Hendricks. I just don't think there's much of any kid you're getting that you don't know for – you don't know for 3 years on anybody anymore.
Hey, where did Kuminga go? It's a G League Ignite guy.
G League Ignite.
Took him 3 years to figure it out.
Yeah.
So there is something weird going on there.
That's a really good point. I don't know if I've heard that from anyone else. That's great. So I'm stealing that. That's great stuff.
Well, they are shutting down G League.
And they are closing.
So
yeah, right.
It might be relevant for about 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Right. So this your Moneyball find here is got about, you know, another 12 months of value. But it is an interesting concept that you should be picking up the phone and calling. If you're the Jazz, you should be picking up the phone and calling everybody who's has a G League Ignite guy and trying to trade for them because they're undervalued 1 or 2 years into the league. You know, what gets interesting on that is some of those, like, non-high-profile G League Ignite guys. But I'd have to go back and look through who they all are. But that actually has me most intrigued is, like, those, you know, like the guys that were taken 28th or 34th or 39th or whatever that were G League Ignite guys that weren't Jalen Green or Scoot Henderson. And what is their process?
Because
they might be pretty good, too.
Sign our guy Eric Mika immediately. Find Eric Mika and get him on your roster. David Locke, thank you, David. What's that? Go ahead.
On this note, I actually read somewhere recently an interesting study that high school recruiting rankings are far better indicators on who makes it in the NBA than draft position.
Oh, I'd buy into that, maybe. Although high school recruiting rankings are incredibly inconsistent. All right, buddy. Thank you. Go back to your skiing. Enjoy your day. Thank you very much.
See you guys.
See you, buddy. David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz. His interview brought to you by Bucked Up Energy. Interesting observation about G League Ignite, Ben. I was long the person saying I would pick college over G League Ignite from the very beginning. And people called me crazy. And I got to admit, I did not anticipate something like what you brought up. But I still thought college was the way to go.
You know, you thought, well, they're going to have NBA coaches, you know, like Andre Miller he's a G League coach, but he's not a G League Ignite coach. But you've had, like, I think Kevin Ollie was running it for a while. No, he was a college coach also. But this idea was like, they're going to have no class, full-time employees. It's like, well, actually, Jake, what was better for you? That you went and got a college degree, or if I had cut you a check for $100,000, where are you better off today than you would have been 18 years old? I give you $100,000 cash, or you go to college.
I take the experience every time.
Well, like, the college was better for you.
Yeah, it was. Like, as a person, developing, like, that's the point of college,
right?
Which everybody loses sight of constantly.
We can say, like, oh, well, diminishing returns, they go for one semester, they drop out the day the tournament starts or whatever, the tournament ends, they drop out of school, they don't get that much out of it. Maybe even that little bit of responsibility that is not just basketball in your life does a lot for you.
Well, and you get to develop your game instead of getting whooped up on by adults. How have the G League Ignite?
Yeah,
they're
honestly like 4-22 or something this year. And every game they're down by 20.
Every year they get blitzed.
Did you see who Kenneth Lofton Jr. put up 52 points last week? Who did he do it against?
Ignite.
G League Ignite.
Yeah, because they're kids.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't know how much you learn from, like, you can make a real argument. When I was growing up, I saw this a bunch of times. If there was a kid who played up a year in baseball or soccer or whatever, for whatever reason, it would hone their skills, and then they'd go back to their age group and, you know, dominate, right? Imagine if it was up 3 years. Do you get that developmental boost, or do you just get your butt kicked by 18-year-olds when you're 14?
Right.
And it doesn't do any good for you.
And it
you.
Doesn't, it doesn't help you, actually.
And it really teaches you, like, oh, man, like, this failure thing. Like, not a lot of success. Whereas if you're banging shots in the NCAA tournament, I think there is benefit to that. And I really do, even though I don't love the college game.
There's fans there.
Pressure.
There's pressure.
But and
there's teachers. There's coaches. There's all kinds of stuff. There's players on your team who are at a totally different level than you are, good or bad, which is a really important thing, I think, to have actually in a team environment, because the same thing's going to happen in the NBA. Everyone can play. Not everyone's as good as Lauri Markkanen or whoever.
What does everybody say about hiring and looking at college degrees? And maybe this is definitely not as true as it used to be. But people say, oh, I don't care what the major is. I just wanted to see that you could get yourself out of bed every morning for 4 years and be on task.
Accomplish something.
Maybe that's what people say is the value all the time. It is a value. You know, you want to learn how to be a professional, we'll go someplace that will teach you how to be accountable and how to have appropriate behavior, how to be responsible, all these really good things that aren't just playing basketball in the gym all the time. In fact, you could make an argument that that's to the detriment, because that teaches you that those other things don't matter when they do. I mean, like you go to, there's a reason that the military is very detailed about how you do everything. I mean, from make your bed
absolutely.
To what you eat to all these things, it's all about discipline. So when, you know, when the moment is at its most critical, you are the type of person that can handle those types of situations. So, like, can you make an argument, you know, well, that operation, you're telling me that a soldier that makes his bed properly, it has something to do with how they execute an operation overseas? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Because that develops the person. So if you're making an argument that college, even a brief bit of college, can help develop a more functional person to go on to the next level, yes,
you have a
I
dorm.
Will buy that.
You have
yes.
a curfew. You have people
right.
checking on you. You have an RM. You have all these things that are weird little pieces of authority you have to learn to negotiate and navigate and deal with and abide by. And it might help a little bit.
Because
but a little bit could go a long way.
There's a reason that people like Sarah and me get to college and go buck dang wild because you have to learn about this freedom to be an adult. And then, you know, Sarah took a little longer than I did, but it takes us a little time to be like, oh, yeah, we got to be an adult here.
Sarah's still paying off the legal bills.
Put the train back on the tracks here and,
yeah, that's what I did at BYU.
Build a life for myself, you know?
Totally partying hard at BYU.
I know. I've talked to people. Your reputation precedes you.
Yeah. Notorious.
No, absolutely notorious. 100%.
And look, this might just be a couple of random players that, you know,
it's an interesting
observation. Might be a coincidence. And the thing is, we're not going to get a longer sample size because, like you said, the G League Ignite's getting closed down.
It's gone.
We will see if in a couple of years some of these other guys, Scoot Henderson,
he stinks,
et cetera, end up figuring it out year two, year three.
Who forever was telling you Scoot stinks? Me.
Yeah, you were. And he did 2 years at the Ignite because he left school when he was 17. So he did 17 years, his 17th year and his 18th year of life with the G League.
We're way over. Stay tuned. Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Whether it's the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies, these guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jacobin 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. Want to remind you to nominate the youth sports volunteer that you know for the Hercules Hero of the Week. Submit your nomination at kslsports.com/contest and listen every Thursday afternoon to JJ and Alex for the winner. Help us celebrate the efforts of those volunteers making an impact with the Hercules Hero of the Week, sponsored by Hercules Credit Union. Have your kids signed up for any spring sports, Ben?
No, one of them's doing tumbling. One of them's currently doing parkour.
Hey, parkour's a thing. You don't need to laugh after that.
No,
I know.
I know. It's funny because, yes, it's something we never did. And I don't, like, I've been to class, obviously, and I see what they're doing. I'm thrilled he's out running around and jumping around and doing athletic stuff. Who cares if it's putting a basketball in a hoop or hitting a baseball, whatever.
I've got a buddy, two friends, actually. They have a son. I'm trying to think how old Harrison is. He's like 10, maybe a little, 10, that's probably 11. But anyway, he wants to be a great skier and wants to be a big mountain skier and all that sort of thing. Ski jumping, like aerials, like that.
Sure,
he's
sure.
into that whole thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know what his off-season sport is? Parkour.
Yeah, right.
He has a coach, and it's all about controlling your body and getting used to
falling.
Yeah, all those sorts of
Which
things.
Which is, you know.
Yeah, I had no idea until they were telling me about it.
Goofy of me to laugh at as a skateboarder because 80% of skateboarding is falling. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. It's a falling sport. Parkour is a falling sport. You just learn how to control your body as it's bouncing off stuff.
Yeah, I thought, what a cool thing.
So, no, I haven't. You?
But see, those are nice because my daughter starts soccer a week from Saturday. And it's just like spring. You know, don't put away the winter stuff yet because there's going to be a Saturday morning where there's going to be snow on the ground.
Nice thing is both tumbling and parkour are indoors.
Yeah. Really and easy. I believe in the lesson of, you know, I remember this as a kid. I'm sure you did too. And playing soccer specifically, you know, Sarah, her parents did this. I'm sure I know it's raining and I know you don't want to go, but you got to be there for your team and get out there and play and all these really good lessons, even though, you know, it's not going to be comfortable. And so I believe in all of that, but that also means that I have to sit there on the sideline and shiver, which
also,
I'm not looking forward to.
Soccer's a winter sport in Florida.
Yeah, I was going to say, when do you play?
It doesn't snow.
Yeah.
And so it usually happens in the winter. And so those days when it does get really cold in Florida, not all the time, but when it does, it kind of sucks.
Yeah, and you don't want to do it. And your folks go, you know what? You're doing it.
Yep.
And it's a good lesson.
Absolutely.
And you got to go out there and you got to be there for your team and you got to do things that are hard. But I never, like when I was going through it, I never thought of the parents sitting on the sidelines shivering their tuchus off.
Shout out to my parents. They always showed up to the games.
Oh, yeah.
Very appreciative of that. And lucky to be able to do it ourselves. You know, you and I are both very lucky to have.
Knowing your parents on a limited basis, I don't think they seem to me like the obnoxious.
Oh, my dad would get after a junior jazz referee.
Would he really?
Oh, yeah.
Would he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
To the point where I love my father. He's a great person. I was conscious of when my son was playing to let the referee do his job. He's making nothing. He's honestly, we talk about our Hercules Heroes of the Week.
Uh-huh.
Like, those guys, even if they're blowing calls, they're doing a tough job for very little reward.
Your old man would get after him, huh?
Yeah, he was into it.
I got to tell you, I umpired Little League Baseball, Pony League Baseball, for one season when I was in high school.
Uh-huh.
You know, I thought, oh, this would be a good way. I love baseball, you know, make a little extra money, whatever.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was just shocked.
Yeah.
At what people would say. I'd be like, I'm a 16-year-old who's the only umpire in a game. I got to call, you know, balls and strikes and plays at second and all this sort of thing. And like, yeah, that was an obvious ball I called a strike. I'm also trying to get home sometime today, you know, and then some bozo dad, what are you, a moron? I'd just turn around and be like, who are you yelling at? No, excuse me. It's who are you yelling at, sir?
That's why it's nice that there's a block button on Twitter. Unfortunately, there's not one on umpires and referees at kids' games.
I couldn't believe it. Because, you know, when I was playing in Little League, you don't really notice it. Like, you notice some parents who cheer or whatever, but you don't notice, like, specifically parents getting after the umpire.
And what does the referee notice? Not you, the kid.
No.
Not what's going on in the game. The guy who yelled
at
him.
But the bozo who's just riding me. We're playing. We're open to 10-year-olds. And you're over here like, calling me a moron because I missed a strike. What? You realized I pedaled my bike down here, sir, right?
Yeah, okay, so what level of sport are you okay yelling at the refs? What does it have to get to? Like, is competitive high school okay?
Yes.
You think it's okay at competitive high school level?
Yes.
Okay.
How about this? At the level where you can be cut from a team.
All right.
The referees.
If there's something on the line for the players, there's got to be something on the line for the referees.
Right. If it's like high school baseball where it's, you know, like if Pony League, you sign up and you're on the team.
Right. $50 on the basketball team. You're going to play at least a quarter every game.
Junior Jazz. Yeah, same thing. You know what I mean?
Ref doesn't deserve it.
And even getting into, like, I realized that maybe some comp soccer programs would have cuts or whatever, but that doesn't count. I mean, like...
Also, why are you yelling at a ref? Like, it doesn't matter if you win a junior jazz game.
Or a high school game, for that matter. Yeah. But when is it acceptable? I would say when kids can start getting cut from the team. Then I think it's reasonable to demand...
I think that's a good line.
...some excellence from whoever is refereeing the game. Fair enough?
Great definition. I like it a lot.
But I used to work with Tony Parks, who used to, like, manage this softball league for, like, 9-year-olds or something like that. And he would come and tell me these just horror stories of these parents. And I never understood how somebody just didn't go, like, they're 9.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure sometimes there are.
They're 9.
Yeah.
Settle down.
Yep.
They're 9. It's okay. Like, they get worked up in, like, lineup switches and stuff. Like, you have to substitute this way. It'd be like, what?
Yeah.
All right.
We've all been there.
We'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Wrapping up a Jake and Ben Show, our 50th segment brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows.
Can you explain to me what's going on at USC basketball? Coach Andy Enfield, after a very bad year this year, horrendously bad, they have a bunch of top recruits. Isaiah Collier is still probably going to be a lottery pick. They're a 500 team, basically, in the Pac-12. Andy Enfield leaves USC for SMU. Do you have any understanding why a coach would do that?
Yeah, because he was going to get fired.
Is that what it is? It's just he's beating the rap?
Either LeBron was going to have him fired, or he was going to get fired for his bad season, or whatever. I think he's taking another gig while he still can, which makes a ton of sense, because he was going to have to go beg Bronny to stay. And who knows what he'd have to do to get the... But LeBron, did you see LeBron's already talking to Ohio State about...
His next son, right?
Yeah.
And who to
and
hire.
Who's their coach going to be and all that stuff. Like,
yeah, that's crazy.
There's a chance Enfield might just not want the headache. But the truth of the matter is, he has been absolutely mediocre at best at USC.
Yeah.
And probably was not long for that gig regardless.
I still think Bronny goes to the NBA draft.
And I don't think he should.
No, but, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo has, what, 2 brothers in the NBA? At least one.
Yeah.
Tanasis.
But does he want to succeed in the NBA or just be in the NBA?
I think, here's the thing, he's probably not good enough to be in the NBA is the truth.
Then play 4 years of college.
Yeah.
And
we
somebody's
just
still
going
to draft you because you're Bronny's kid or LeBron's kid.
But they can do the father-son thing. First duo to ever play together.
But see, that's
draft
about
by
LeBron.
By the Lakers in the second. It is.
It's not about Bronny. It's about LeBron.
Obviously, I'm not a child of a famous person, much less the most famous athlete on the planet. Maybe your whole life is about your dad. You know what I mean? And so you're always doing things to do that. You're always doing things to be in their circle and
orbit around
them.
Which is a human thing, but I hope for his sake that he makes the right decision for him.
I agree.
And I hope that his father, and again, I guess I have no reason to believe otherwise, but has his best interest at heart, which is not going to the NBA draft. And you can make the argument, oh, yeah, well, Giannis has a one-legged brother that's still on an NBA team. Well, is that thriving or is that getting a handout? You know, is Bronny an NBA player or not? I know he's not the best player in college basketball like some people thought he would be, but I don't think he's a nothing burger.
Absolutely not.
So develop yourself. Get some, make it happen. Build your own thing. But if you go to the NBA when you're not ready just because you want to be on the same team as your dad, well, that's dumb.
He's going to end up playing for the South Bay Lakers of the G League on a two-way contract, and he will get a couple of minutes on the floor with his dad next year. That's what I expect to happen.
Yeah, it's...
And is that good? Probably not.
It's the crappy ball getting signed by the Hornets just so LeVar could tell everybody his kids were all in the NBA at the same time.
Yeah, LiAngelo playing for a little bit.
And not even playing. I think he just came to camp.
Yeah, I don't think he even ever got to even attend a...
Yeah.
But LeBron...
No, it's like your celebrated Jordan Clarkson triple-double. When you're out on the floor longer than you should be and you're out, the rest of your team is trying to get you to the rebound. Is that really a triple-double?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, on the stat sheet, it is. Yeah. Like, in the record books, Bronny would be an NBA player, sure.
Right. Here's the thing. This may be his best chance to make the NBA.
I would find that hard to believe.
I would hope so. He was not good at USC this year.
No, but so he'd be just getting drafted on his name now. That would be true 4 years from now. Why not try to turn yourself into a player?
He may not get drafted 4 years from now. If LeBron is not in the NBA.
So if it's not for the gimmick, then
100%.
Then find something else to do.
Yeah.
Or that's what I'd do. Yeah. I'm not going to go in the NBA because of some gimmick, because you want to have a gimmick with my dad. Screw that. I'll go be an accountant or something. I'm sure, like, he's had a fine education. I'm sure there's something else.
Who's your accountant? His name's LeBron James, but they call him Bronny. His name's LeBron James.
Yeah, and he's been around a ton of money his entire life, and he's killing it for me.
We'll see. I suspect he enters the draft.
All right, stay tuned. Hans and Scotty are coming up next. Jake and Ben.
Thanks, sir.
97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.